Kirvose Gudvachopol is good. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Peches. As we roll right towards the Siyum, I hope you guys have something big planned, very exciting. Spend 3 months on a Mesechta and check it off. But we're not there yet. And the Mishnah says here on the bottom of Pei Zayin Amabez, again, we've been talking about, right, if you remember, situations where yes hafara, no hafara, right, has a husband be mefer neder. So the Gemara wants to know here, right, the Mishnah says, Yodea anishesh nedarim avla eni yodea shesh mefirim. Let's say the husband doesn't have a complete understanding, a complete grasp of Hilchos nedarim, and he says, you know, I know that there's some a concept of nedarim, but I didn't realize I could be mefer neder. So the Mishnah says, then yofer, that you are able, that he is able to be mefer. And as in the Rishonim explained, as Mefarish explains, right, even lachar zman, right, she no de shiachol lahafer de kaven de lo haya yodea shiachol lahafer meikara lo karin be biyom shamo. Again, the pasuk says, right, again, the pasuk says mefer lo biyom shamo, he's able to be mefer on the day that he hears that there's a nether. But let's say he doesn't know that he can be mefer nether. So the day he finds out, hey, by the way, you can get rid of that nether on your own, that's considered to be the day he heard the nether, and on that day he's able to be made for the nether. So that's what the Mishnah says. Second case in the Mishnah, and this is what we're going to spend the bulk of our time talking about. If he says, Yodea ani sheish mefirim, avayini yodesh is a nether, right? If he knows that there's a concept of hafaras nedarim, but for whatever reason he didn't realize that his wife's words constituted a nether, right? Again, he's a London, but he doesn't really know how to take the Gemara or the halachos and put it into practice, right? He didn't realize that he was actually experiencing, right, that halacha that he studied. He knew the halacha, but he didn't realize that was a situation. So what happens? What's the halacha? So Remeir omer lo yofer, v'chachamim omer Omrim Yofer. The Rabbi Meir says he cannot be made for nether, and the Chachamim say that he can be made for nether. Now, there's a couple of ways to understand this machlokas. The Ron quotes two, and we're just going to use the first one, just because it's going to help us to the Hemshech of the Gemara. Right again, the right, if you're interested, the Ron does kind of explain the Gemara according to both understandings, but let's just use the first one. If you look at Ron, Dibur Maskal Rabbi Meir, Omer Lo Yofer, right, meaning, according to one person, lo yefer klal. According to this understanding, Rabbi Meir says you can't be mefer at all, meaning you can't be mefer that day, later, extra, meaning it's not considered to be the yom shamo, meaning, so that basically, the achar shod, mishum di yadde kamaisa, lagabi lo yochel hafer, achar mekein yom shamo, mekri kvar over. Meaning, if that's not considered to be the day that he heard about it. When he finds out later on that she made a nether, right, he's not able to be made for it later on. The Chachamim say that Yofer b'yom hazeh, the day that he found out about the nether, because and the Ron explains that the machlokas is the sfir lehu de miktsas yedia kechol yedia, right, that a miktsas yedia, that a little bit of an understanding, and this is important for the Hemshech of the Gemara, that having half a yedia, half an understanding of a situation is enough. It's considered to be a full yedia. And that day that he finds out that there was another, he is able to be Mayfair. Rabbi Meir would say that Mixas Yediyah is not considered to be a full Yediyah, and then therefore he cannot be Mayfair. But the Chachamim say that he can be Mayfair, that Mixas Yediyah, Havi Yediyah, Kachol Yediyah, as the Ron says, and therefore, as long as it's still that day, he's able to be Mayfair. But if he missed it, so then he's no longer able to be Mayfair. Okay. Fine. Now, says the Gemara. Again, there's another explanation if you want to check it out, but let's operate with that one. So, Urimenu, I'll bring you a stira. The stira is from a completely different context. The stira is from a halachos of Rotzeach B'Shogeg, that if a person kills someone B'Shogeg, so he goes to Golos. And the Gemara Makos darshans out a bunch of different ways, right, a bunch of different scenarios where you do go to Golos, you don't go to Golos, what is considered to be B'Shogeg, what is considered to be Karav L'Mezid, Karav L'Shogeg, Karav L'Ones. Right, what scenario does a person go to Golos? So the Brisa says the below Ra'os, if a person sees them, again, the pasuk, it's good, important to quote the whole pasuk here. I really should quote the few psukim, but I'm not going to do that. But the pasuk says, O b'chol evan asher yamuz ba below Ra'os, and that's the line we're quoting right here. If he kills someone without any stone, without seeing, v'yapel lo yamuz, and the guy dies, v'hu lo oyev lo mevakesh ra'aso, and they were enemies, etc. And the psukim give a whole detailed list of what scenario is not considered to be a rechitza b'shogeg, a murder b'shogeg. So one of the things they says is they're below ra'os. The guy didn't see him. The guy didn't see him. And the question is, when he says the guy didn't see him, right, is that including a summa, someone who's normally blind, or excluding someone who's normally blind? Meaning, because again, the assumption of the pasuk is that this guy killed him by accident. Right? Didn't see him, so it was an accident. It was bishogeg, and bishogeg is really with negligence, not by accident. Okay, but meaning he killed him below ra'os. The question is, does that pasuk tell me that a person who never sees, right? If below ra'os pasuk pshat means the guy normally sees, but he happened not to see him. But what does that tell me for a person who never sees? So prior l'suma de Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir omer l'rabbis is a suma. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have machlokas as to whether that includes a blind person from the parsha of shogeg or excludes a blind person. What's the deal? So if you look at the Ran again, that since this is where we're bringing the kasha, since he has mikzas yedia, right? Says the Ran. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, again, Rabbi Meir said that mixas yediyah, having some sort of knowledge of the situation, doesn't count as full knowledge. Doesn't count. So, but in this scenario, right, Rabbi Meir says that pasuk includes a blind person to this whole parsha of killing b'shogeg, because, right, as if again look at the Ran, Rabbi Meir Omer the Rabbis Sasuma, came with the islay mixas yediyah, since the guy has some sort of knowledge. Demargishu, but kaba is a eslo, meaning a blind person understands that there's somebody close to him, whatever, he doesn't see him, but he kind of understands there's somebody there. Right? It's some sort of knowledge. So if you gave havi kachol yediyah, therefore it's considered to be a full yediyah. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite, right, that mixes yediyah is not kachol yediyah, that having some sort of knowledge, right, is not considered to be a full knowledge, and therefore, right, he says that excludes a blind person. Now, the step the Ran makes is that Rabbi Yehuda is the Chachamim in our Mishnah, and then therefore it's a stereo between both of them. That on the one hand, Rabbi Meir here says that Mitzas Yediyah is B'chol Yediyah, and our Mishnah it says Mitzas Yediyah is not considered a full Yediyah. And then in the Gemara over here, Rabbi Yehuda says that Mitzas Yediyah, no, having some sort of small knowledge, medium understanding of what's going on, is not good enough. And in the Mishnah, it is good enough. So what's going on? So what's the stira between, is it that a person needs to have complete knowledge of a situation or doesn't need to have full knowledge of the situation? So Rava simply says that Hakam Inyana Dikra, Hakam Inyana Dikra. That's not actually the machlokas over there by the pasuk of below Ra'os. Right, below Ra'os, we wanted to say that if a person has a little bit of knowledge, that's enough, that's considered full knowledge, and therefore when he kills him a shogeg, he goes to Golos. And that's Rabbi Meir. And what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, if you didn't, according to Rabbi Meir, if you have just a little bit of knowledge of the Neder, that's not considered to be full knowledge, and therefore you can't be Mefer. So, but Rava says, no. It's talking about the drushos, the simple drushos of the Pesukim. Right? You can't, this is completely different. It's nothing to do with Chatzi Yediyah, full Yediyah, knowing, not knowing, half knowing. It has nothing to do with anything. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, this is simply Hadi Darshan the Psukim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Gabi Ratzeach, see, the Pasuk says, Vashay Yavos Bereyu Bayar. Again, the Pasuk says that, ironically, the Pasuk gives a full example of a murder b'shogeg. That a guy goes to the forest to chop wood, and the axe handle flies off, and he kills somebody. Right, so the example over there, right, someone goes to the forest. Right, so Rabbi Yehuda learns, right, Biyar, Kol Dover Mial Liyar. Anything that goes into the yar is going to be shayach to this halacha. V'sumanami bar mile leyarhu, and soon a blind person can go into a forest, so he must be included in this halacha. V'yamar to blow ra'os, but then you have the pasuk of blow ra'os. Right? If you can tell me that b'larabos is a suma, that includes a blind person into this whole halacha of rotzeach b'shogeg, miyar nafkale. We already know that, right? You just told me that since a blind person can theoretically go into a forest, he's included in this halacha. Elish ma'amina blow ra'os prat l'suma. So therefore, it must be that if we say that the guy doesn't see, that tells me that he does see normally. Rabbi Meir, and therefore a blind person who doesn't see normally is not b'chol included in this halacha. Rabbi Meir Savar, no. Rabbi Meir says no. The pasuk says k'siv b'li das without knowing. Right, kol davar meida. Right, anybody called? I'm sorry. Called debar. I did say that poorly. Right, last time it was called debar mayalear. Now it's called debar meida. Someone who has full and complete knowledge. And v'suma lav bar meida hu. We assume a blind person is not someone who has full das. So iyamar to blow ra'os prat v'suma mibli das nafkalei. And if you tell me that the words lo ra'os excludes a blind person, we already have that. Right, from the other pasuk, that a person has to have full das to be able to be shaykh to this halacha of Ratzeach B'shogeg. Elish ma'amina, it's rather masi, below ra'os, the rabbis sasuma, must be, right, two negatives make a positive. Right, and therefore, it is including therefore, it is including a suma, a blind person, into that halacha. Okay, fine. Hamadir haname chasano. Now, a different topic now. The Mishnah says if a person swears off giving benefit to his son-in-law, v'hu rotza lasez labito mos. And what happened? He wants to give his daughter a gift. Problem is, as we'll see on Amabez, this Mishnah is assuming like a Rebbe Meir, Gemara, Mishnah, Kiddushin, I think it's Daf Chav. Beis or Chav Gemel, that says that basically anything, kol shekana ishto kanabal, that the wife acquires something and the husband acquires it immediately afterwards, right, anything the wife gets, right, becomes the husband's. So how do you give a gift to your daughter if you swore off hana to your son-in-law? Right. First of all, you should probably repair that relationship. But aside from that, right? So how do you do it? So it says the Mishnah, Omer la harei hamaos ha'elu nosnim lach b'matana. I'm giving you this money b'matana. U'bil vad as long shelo yehi baleich reshus b'hem, and as long as your husband does not have any reshus to them, ela ma she'at nosas v'nosenes l'picha. And step number two, right, and that you put it, right, it's again, it's food, it's not, I guess, obviously it's not money, but it's food that goes right into your mouth, meaning it stays the husband's up until the point where the wife swallows or eats the food. And at that point, it's a gift to the wife. The husband is not able to take it because obviously it's not able to own it. It's inside the wife's body already. So that's how you would do such a thing. So Amar Rav says, Lo shanu ela de Amar la masha ad nosas v'nas b'picha. I mean, that second point is important. Aval Amar, but if he says, masha tirzi asi, right, or kana yason bal. But if he says, here's the money, do whatever you want with it, so then the husband does acquire it, right, and that will mess up, right, mess up the nether, right, again, then that's a problem. So Shmuel says, no, right, afilu amar masha tirzi asi lo kana yason bal. Shmuel says that second stage is not important, right, and it's even if you would just give her the money and say, here's $100, do whatever you want, the husband would not acquire the money. Now, if you look at the Ran on the base says that Shmuel and Rav are not actually arguing in terms of the interpretation of the Mishnah. They're actually just arguing within halacha, right? Whether we paskin like this Mishnah or not. Right, that Ran over there, Debra Maskel Shmuel, right? Shmuel lo palag adarav perusha demasnisan. Right, Shmuel's not arguing. Right, elo bedina hu de palag alea. The Rav, right, the machlokas is simply whether we paskin like this Mishnah or not. Rav says yes, and Shmuel says no. And the husband, the father, could theoretically give a matana to his daughter. Maskel Rabbi Zera says, I don't understand. What are you talking about? Come on, Azla Hashmaitz of the Rav. Right, one second. This Rav is holding Rabbi Meir. Rav, as we pointed out, Rav is holding like the Mishnah, like Rabbi Meir, the Amar Yad Isha Kiyad Baila, who says in, okay, Kedushin Chav Gimel Mabez, Yad Isha Kiyad Baila, that whatever the wife acquires, the husband acquires. Or Minhu, but one problem, I'll give you a stira. Ketza Mishtatfim B'mabui. Right, this is, again, we're all over Shas here, right? How do you make a Shitu Shtufa Mubos? If you remember from all way back when in Erevin, so there's something called the Shtufa Mubos, that if people share a courtyard, or a mavoi rather, maybe probably more accurate, right? A bunch of courtyards share a corridor. So they do what's called the shtufim mavos, which kind of makes everything into kind of one rishus, and everybody who has a chatzer in that that shares the mavoi, that shares the corridor, so they put a little bit of food in one area, right? It's considered as if it's one rishus on Shabbos. So everybody, and now let's say you have 10, you know, chotzeros that do this. So it's kind of annoying to kind of go knock on everybody's door on Erev Shabbos. Everybody's busy, right? You might forget, right? And then there are issues. So basically, what they would usually do is, like, one guy puts aside some food and he's mezake it. He acquires it to everybody else in the chutz, or through giving it to someone else, right? Again, it's my bread, I give it to one other guy, and he's mezak everybody else, he acquires it for everybody else. So the halacha, it says over here, right, the Gemara says, Ketzad mishtafim b'mabwe, how do you do this? I mean, what's the easiest thing to do? Manech is a chavis, right, you put the barrel there, but Omer harei zeh l'chol b'nei mavo. He says, this now belongs to everybody in the courtyard. And he can be mezakeh through his Eved, or right, obviously a Jew, right, either his Eved Ivri or his Shifcha Ivri, right, Al Yidei B'no Bito, or his children, Hagadolim, that are obviously, you know, that are past bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, ve'al Yidei Ishto, and through his wife, he can do it to his wife. That she can be koneid for other people. Via Martha kana yason bala. But if you're telling me that anything a woman acquires, her husband acquires, so that, what do you mean? How did that just work? You give it to her to be acquired for everybody else, but that goes, kind of reflects back on the husband. You stuck back with him being the one who owns it. Right, Erev lo nafik mirshusi deval, right? Again, you have to put it out there, right? The Erev, the food has to be, go out of your rishus and go to everyone else's rishus. Well, if you're going to give it to your wife to be mizaka to everyone else, And Rav is telling, and Rabbi Meir is telling me that anything the wife acquires, the husband acquires. So how did that work? That doesn't the legal mechanism doesn't work. So Amar Rava says, "Afagav dam Rabbi Meir yad ishukiyad baila moda Rabbi Meir leinan shituf." He says, "Yeah, in a chanami, but Rabbi Meir is moda over here. The kevin de l'schus acherim hu miyad baila zachya because this is not exactly." This is not exactly what's going on over here. Because if a person would give away from Matana, fine. But she's trying to be Mizaka other people. Right? He can be Mizaka other... She can be Mizaka other people, even though theoretically she acquires, right, some of the... You know, the husband acquires other things. Right? But in economy, she's still able to be Mizaka for others. Okay, fine. It's not the same thing. Israel Ravina Ravashi. Ravina asked Ravashi, what do you mean? What, that doesn't work. Because we have a price that seems to contradict that. Right, aside again that Elu Shizachin Lahem. Right, these are the people who can be Mizacha, the Shita, the Shtufim and Vaos. These are the people who you can use. Right, it's against this Gemara. Right, it's this price it says, Beno Bito Gedolim Ado Shifchazo Ivrim. It doesn't list the wife. Right? It just says your servants, your children. And these are the people who you cannot use. Right? You can't obviously not use a Jew. Here this Brisa says you can use your wife. So what's the deal? I mean, first of all, there's a seer in the Brisa. And second of all, you can't just say that it does work by the wife because clearly it doesn't work by the wife. So how do we resolve the seer? What's going on over here? How do you figure it out? Right from what? So Amar Ravashi Masnisan Bishyesh Lachatz Rebo Samavu Yaskinan. Right, this has the Mishnah that we quoted before. Right, is only if she has her own property. Right, sometimes a woman can own property from, let's say, a previous marriage or inheritance, or whatever it is. So if she owns a chatzer, she also owns a chatzer in that mavui. So that's when you can use his wife to be mizaket to other people. Because in that scenario, she would be zochet for herself, and therefore she could be mizaket to other people. But if she didn't have any property, so then she would not, again, because she can't acquire it for herself, and she therefore can't be mizaket to others, and therefore that wouldn't work. Now, we don't know who we paskin like. I mean, we just had that back and forth between Rav and Shmuel, right? Who do we paskin like? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, so that's actually a big machlokas in the Rishonim. If you look at Rashi, if you look at the Ran, right, Rashi Ulinin Halacha, right. So it says some paskin like Shmuel, right. Even though we go by an Isser Vehetter, we go like Rav, but by Dinim, by monetary matters, we go by Shmuel. Like in the other Rishonim. I have different opinions, but that's at least how the Ron weighs in. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll go right in the head of the Shas tomorrow, getting ready for the Hadron. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.